Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Suits texting me during the break. I mean, can we get a cease and desist order or something? What did Sage Karam and Danica Patrick have to get to keep him away? What was that? Can I use their attorney? Oh, you're no help. I'm trying to hang on here. Chris Mack in a few moments. Time now for the play-by-play call of the day. The Flyers and Tim Saunders.
Built with a right wing pass. Wayne Simmons chases it down deep into the corner. Nudges it in behind the goal. Pushes Nick Leddy to the ice. Simmons jams it out in front. Backhand shot. They score! And it's Jordan Wheel again. Is this kid red hot? Wheel's got 7 goals in 15 games. After going scoreless in his first 18 in the NHL, it's 4-0.
Flyers playing well at the moment and get the win last night. And Tim Saunders with a call on the Flyers Radio Network. Always does a great job. I was talking earlier this week, Sam Stellatella passing away earlier this week, and Scott Skarzinski passed away as well. He had that great touchdown catch against Texas in the Cotton Bowl in 72 that Johnny Huffnagel threw. I broke that game open. So, Scott Skarzinski. Oof. That was incredible. Penn State took that team apart that day. I mean, Texas had the wishbone, and Penn State just absolutely just ripped them apart. And won the game 30-6. I think Lydell Mitchell was the MVP of the game. I think led the game, 6-3 at halftime? And then in the second half, outscored them 24-0. In fact, I think Texas scored first in the game. I think it led the game 3-0. And then Penn State just tore them apart. Ripped them apart, the old Cotton Bowl. Done a game in the old Cotton Bowl. That's enough. All right. Let's bring in Chris Mack from the Pirates Radio Network. We'll get to all the predictions that Westgate has made in the next break. But, Chris, what kind of, when you look at the Pirates, what sticks out and impresses you right away?
I tell you what, I still like, I know there's inexperience in the rotation, but I really like the pitching staff, especially the bullpen. I do think that, you know, Felipe Rivero is probably primed to steal Tony Watson's job by the end of the season because he is just a stud of a closer. Everybody you hear from loves the stuff that he's got. He's got high heat. He's recommitted this spring to throwing up and in on lefties, which he admitted to me he was a little reticent to do last year, which may have accounted for those reverse splits where he actually pitched better to righties last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, by the end of the season, I think Felipe Rivero's their closer. Don't know what that means for Tony Watson, but he's their closer to start the season. Daniel Hudson has closed in the past. He's their seventh inning guy, I would imagine. And then you've got some specialists like Bastardo and Nicasio. The loss of Jared Hughes is a little strange, but I don't think anyone's totally surprised by it. I think more surprised by the fact that a really good guy for the clubhouse and a really good guy for the community was dispatched, but he was also going to make close to $3 million this year, and they're not going to pay anybody in Indianapolis $3 million a year. So not a total surprise, but you know, the bullpen as a whole I really like. The rotation 1-3 I like. Chad Kuhl is still some question marks, and whoever the fifth starter is going to be will have to prove prove themselves in some pretty limited work early in the season. All that said, I like the pitching staff, and I like that you've got McCutchen, Polanco, Marte, 3, 4, 5 in the middle of the order. Would prefer to have Gung in the middle of that mix, at least his bat in the middle of that mix, but we'll see if that ends up happening.
Yeah, Watson, you know, you're always told, look, be the best at your role. Mm-hmm. He was among the best as a setup guy. And there aren't many left-handed setup guys.
What's interesting about Tony is that the 2 years where he specialized in that eighth inning role in front of Mark Melancon, he gave up, I think, 8 home runs total, maybe, between the two seasons.
Right.
And he gave up that many in about 10 weeks last year. If for whatever reason maybe there was a change in his approach, a change in his mechanics, his delivery that led to him keeping the ball up more when he was closing and led to some of those long balls leaving the park, I would hope he'd be able to fix that in spring training, and that he has been able to fix it. But he had a couple rough outings this spring too. And a lot of it, Steve, I think with the closer's role, it's a mental thing. It's a completely different aspect of the game.
Sure is.
And not to say that, you're still a pitcher. I get it. You're still a guy going out there for one inning, but there is a mental part of it that you wonder if maybe Tony Watson doesn't have it, or doesn't have it in the right way to go out there and be the ninth inning lockdown guy. So we'll see. Maybe I'm completely wrong. He comes out and he shuts down 45 games and he's worth that arbitration contract that he got this year, and he goes out and cashes in on a pretty weak free agent market next winter for closers. But to me, when I look at the Pirates bullpen, he's like you said, he was that prototypical eighth inning setup guy. And when I look at Felipe Rivero, I look at a guy who just screams closer to me, from mentality to stuff to everything.
Well, I mean, look, in my football basketball experience, the number of guys over the years in football basketball that I've watched excel in the scout team and then get, hey, they deserve a chance to get flipped over to the other group.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different mental game at that point. Now,
absolutely,
something's really expected of you. And that's,
it happens. When you become the man,
yep,
it's a whole lot different.
Yeah, a whole lot different. All right. Defensively, how can this club be?
I think, any defense that has Josh Harrison at its disposal wherever they want on the infield, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think early in the season, with the absence of Gung, we're probably going to see him more at third base than any of us expected. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the opening day lineup has Adam Frazier at second and leading off. They really like what he did this spring, as much as, Clint Hurdle and Neil Huntington are going to tell you that spring numbers don't matter. They matter in Adam Frazier's case, and what he did last year matters just as much, if not more so. So Jay Hay, I think, is going to get a considerable amount of time at third, which means a little more time for David Freese at first, probably, and spelling Josh Bell, who's the biggest question mark on this team as far as the glove goes. It's not as dire, I think, as some people have made it out to be. He looked fairly solid when I saw him down in Florida in games. There have been some hiccups. It's really all about repetition, and you can't replace time. Time at first base or at any position that you're unfamiliar with is the only way you get more comfortable at it. You can't simply, you can take 100 ground balls in practice. It's nothing like taking 10 in a game. And that's what he's got to get used to, is getting those game repetitions under his belt at first base, knowing when to charge after a ball that's hit to his right in the hole, knowing when and how to pivot his feet when he turns around to take a pickoff throw or a snap throw from a catcher maybe. When to charge on a bunt. All these little things that are second nature if you've played first base in a game atmosphere year after year are not second nature for Josh Bell. So those things, they're only going to come with time. And to be honest, his offensive production and what I think we expect it to be is worth the 15 to 20 errors he's going to make this year at first base and the mental mistakes he's going to make at times. To me, having his bat, whether he's hitting second or sixth or anywhere in between, is worth the deficiencies with the glove right now at first base. And he's going to get better. He is. The more time he spends there, if he plays 140 games at first base this year, it's going to be a huge help to him at first base.
And it took a little while coming off the injury for him to get his timing back at the plate. I think it was 3 for his first 32. What did he do at the end to make it feel the bat was coming to life and the timing was there?
You know, if nothing else, what I liked out of Josh Bell, Steve, was that he never lost his patience through the whole thing this spring, losing the timing at the plate. It wasn't a very dramatic knee surgery that he underwent, but surgery is surgery. Anytime you get cut, there's going to be some sort of healing, and you're going to lose time in the cage and lose rhythm the way he did. What I liked was he still sat back and waited for his pitches. He still sent stuff the other way when they tried to pitch him on the outer third of the plate. He's still sitting and waiting and watching. I saw him at one point when he was, you know, 3 for 27 or whatever it was, and he laid off some really tasty pitches on the outside corner and drew himself a walk. That's in a spring training game when you would think he'd want to get the bat up off his shoulders, swing it, take a few hacks, get a few reps with the bat in a game situation. Instead, he sat there, he waited, he sat back, didn't get his pitch, so he walked down to first base, which is just as good as a base hit.
How do you feel about the coordination in the outfield now that Marte's the quarterback out there?
I think it's going to be, they're going to have some really interesting situations early. You know, you've got Fenway in the first three games, and then you come back home for PNC, which I don't care what Andrew McCutchen's told me, right field at PNC is a different animal than right field in most places. So it's a lot more shallow. You've got the wall there. The wall's even going to look different because it's not the old time scoreboard. It's not like they're putting numbers up by hand or ever were, but it's not the, they've redone. It's a big video board out there on the Clemente wall now. So visually, even, it's going to feel different. I know that seems like a little thing, but when you're running back on a ball and you're tracking it and something different is in your peripheral vision than what you're used to, I would think that's going to affect him a little bit. I don't worry about Marte in the least, covering from all the way from the left center notch all the way over to the basically where the scoreboard is in right center. He can cover that ground. He's that quick. Polanco, I'm not worried about. He's got the speed to get around in left, and he's got the arms, as does Marte. Cutchin, right, I think, you know, it's an opportunity for him to show that he's willing to do something he's not necessarily comfortable doing. And he looked all right out there in the WBC, so, and in spring training. So I don't think there's too much to worry about as far as, you know, Marte being the coach slash quarterback out there in center field. He's bright enough and he knows that McCutchen is still the guy, for lack of a better way to put it, that, you know, if he nods to Andrew to say, hey, maybe take three steps in, and Andrew doesn't do it, well, what's Starling Marte going to do? It's still, McCutchen's still the face of the franchise.
Right. No question about that. Chris, thanks so much. Look forward to hearing you starting on Monday.
Yeah, can't wait for it, Steve.
Chris Mack, Pirates Radio Network. We'll talk about where Westlake thinks the Phillies will finish and how many wins when we come back in a moment as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Sunbury Motors Lincoln continues to satisfy the most discerning buyer by making American luxury affordable. If you are looking for a midsize SUV, the Lincoln MKX has to be on your list. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has a brand new 2016 Black Velvet MKX all-wheel drive with navigation and panoramic vista roof with an MSRP of $48,640 for only $43,352. That's $5,288 in savings. You can choose from 12 MKXs in stock now. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has 5 2017 Lincoln Continentals in stock, ready for the test drive of your life. The 2017 Continental won the coveted 2017 AutoGuide.com Reader's Choice Luxury Car of the Year Award. Sunbury Motors has a 2017 Continental with an MSRP of $48,315, discounted to $46,315. Now is the time to see why more people are realizing they can move up to a brand new Lincoln from Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. All right. Westlake. All right. What do they think about the season coming up? So they always project how many wins teams are going to have. So we will start with the National League East. They have the Washington Nationals projected to get 91 wins. The Mets at 89. The Marlins at 76. The Braves at 75. And the Phillies at 73.5. In the Central, Cubs at 96 wins. Cardinals at 84.5. Pirates at 82.5. Brewers at 71.5. And the Reds at 70.5. National League West, the Dodgers at 94 wins on the projection. Giants at 88. Colorado Rockies at 80.5. D-backs at 77.5. Padres, worst record of all, at 66. Based on this, the two wild card teams, projection-wise, would be the Mets and the Giants. In the American League, this is what Westlake projects in the American League. Okay. This is, of course, their Superbook. Red Sox in the East at 92 wins. Blue Jays at 85.5. Yankees at 83.5. Orioles at 80.5, Tampa Bay at 78.5. Central, Indians at 93 wins, Tigers at 82, Royals at 77, Twins at 75, White Sox at 70. In the West, Astros at 90 wins, Mariners at 86.5. Rangers at 83.5. Angels at 79. And the A's at 74. The two wild card teams based on this projection would be the Blue Jays and the Mariners. So that's what they project. So now let's get into some interesting stats on each team. And we'll start with the Phillies. Because the Phillies have some interesting stuff that goes with them. When you look at the Phillies, we start out with the organizational number, that of all organizations, they have more wins with their minor league team and their highest winning percentage of any minor league team in all of baseball. And it's not just a small number. You were talking about a 595 winning percentage by the Phillies minor league system. 412 wins and only 280 losses. Jeremy Hellickson induced a swing and miss rate of 47.7% on his changeups last year, second only to Jake Arrieta. Vince Velasquez induced a swing and miss rate of 26.6% on his fastball, third highest in Major League Baseball. Jared Eichhoff, 1.16 whip last season, fourth lowest among qualified pitchers, 25 or younger. And Adubel Herrera, one of only eight outfielders with 80 extra base hits and 40 stolen bases over the last two seasons. So there are positives to talk about with the Phillies. And the building continues, which is fine. Just build. The Pirates, the other team in the state. Why did the Pirates fall off so badly from 98 wins to 78 wins? Well, you can trace it right to team ERA. They were 98-64 in 2015, 3.21 ERA. Last year, 78-83, 4.21 ERA. One full run higher. Starting pitchers, 3.53 in 15. Jumped to 4.67 in 16. Bullpen, 2.67 for relief pitchers in 15, 3.57 last season. Pirates are going to change their outfield, as Chris Mack mentioned. McCutchen to right, Marte to center, Polanco in left. The Pirates converted 88.6% of fly balls into outs in 2016. That's the second worst mark in the National League behind only the Colorado Rockies. Andrew McCutchen coming off his worst season. Lowest batting average, lowest OPS, highest K percentage, 21.2, and the highest chase percentage at 23.4. You know how much I love war, but I'll use it anyway. Starling Marte has notched a 4.9 WAR rating or higher in each of his full seasons in the major leagues since 2013. There are only two players that have done this since 2013. Marte and Mike Trout. Trout is the, of course, king of WAR. Wins above replacement. Which I think is one of the dumbest stats I've seen in my life, but that's all right. Some of these stats are great, like swing and miss percentage, change up percentage thing. I mean, that stuff I think is great, but wins above replacement? Okay.
Yeah, when I first saw WAR, I was like, okay, when did they start tabulating that? And WHIP threw me off, too, the first time I saw WHIP in the stats in the column.
Oh, okay. All right. Walks, hits, per innings pitch.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm not a big believer in the WAR stats. I mean, that's a guess. Okay, let's start with this. If Mike Trout's out of the lineup, I'm going to guess his replacement isn't as good. How am I doing so far? In fact, Mike Trout has had the highest WAR number in five seasons. You know who's number one? Babe Ruth. Something tells me Babe never knew. Walter Johnson was fifth. I can guarantee you the big train didn't know either. Most of sabermetrics really, really good. The WAR one, I'm sorry. That's called a guess. I guess my brother's next. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So they're saying in that report that the suit's brain has only grown 3% since age 3. Is that what I'm supposed to take from that? Just asking. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket imports domestics microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. They have water, wine coolers, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the Dills and the Barrels, are second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. The stats people who calculate wins above replacement, WAR, telling us that Mike Trout is 1 year away from tying Babe Ruth's record for most consecutive WAR wins where he was the best. The Babe didn't even know he had set the record. It doesn't take much thought to realize that whomever replaces Mike Trout is not going to be as good. Voila! All right, let's bring in my brother now, who claims on the 17th of March he celebrated a birthday when in reality it was on Monday. Welcome.
No, the 17th. I changed it.
Good for you.
It's changed.
Hmm? Yep. Good for you.
Yeah. But I'm not quite sure how old I am, though, because that got messed up. So
that's okay.
How old are you?
You just turned. I'm 59. You just turned 58.
Oh, okay. See, I gained a year, so I thought I was 59 this year.
No, so. You. No.
Yeah.
And Sean, now you know what it's like all the time.
You two are closer in age than I thought. I thought there was a little further gap between the two.
14 months.
Okay.
14 months.
14 months?
For some reason, I was thinking at least 3 years.
Yeah. 14 and a half months, whatever. Yeah. 3 years.
Yeah, I was thinking like 3 years at least.
Who was older?
Well,
who
I would
do you think was older?
See, that's the thing, Kevin. I thought you were the older.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, man, this is just a rotten day, man. This day isn't going well at all.
That's because he thinks you're more mature.
That's it, yes.
Wow. Oh, man. If I had a cat, I'd kick it. So, anyway.
No, he's definitely younger than I am, so...
I don't care. I feel great, so it doesn't matter. I'm getting my butt kicked on my game here. I got to quit this stupid thing.
I've been trying to tell you.
Well, you don't win anything, you know. if you won money, it'd be one thing, but all you can do is lose. Yet I keep playing the stupid thing. So I dream about it. You know, I wake up, I got five in a row, and I'm in bed. I ain't got nothing. So.
What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again with the same result?
Hey, what do you think of that ball guy's father? He's going to destroy that kid.
Well,
I think that kid's going to be a bust in the NBA big time.
I think he'll be what he'll be in the NBA. In my opinion, is Jason Kidd with a better shot.
I think he's going to get his butt kicked. Is what I think. He got his butt kicked against Kentucky.
He did. I think he'll be among the league leaders next year in the top five in assists.
Really?
He'll be probably because I mean he's a passer. I think he'll be. 10-11 point a game score, 3 rebounds a game, probably average maybe.
Seth Curry, according to his father, he should be getting 30 a game. That's my point. Well, he's never going to live up to what this guy is selling.
Let me
put
it this way.
You know what? I don't want to play anymore. So.
LeVar Kardashian isn't right about that, but that's all right.
He's a real piece of work. Now, tell me what you would do, okay? I listen to Sports Talk Radio around the clock. If he wanted to come on your program, would you allow him?
No. Yeah, I don't think there's any value. I don't see any value that he would bring to the program whatsoever. He doesn't do anything.
Well, I realize that, but wouldn't you want to question what he does?
Ask him
the right questions. You know, why are you doing this to your son?
I would rather have the son.
I would hammer the freaking guy. I would welcome it and say, why are you doing this to your kid?
I would actually rather have the son on the show and talk to him about what he's doing to get himself ready and is he mentally prepared to play among real adults with the internal pressure being placed on him by his family.
Yeah, that's a real good question. I'm just saying, nobody goes after the fight. I would go after him. So why are you doing this? You're not going to play. You know, why are you making this kid live up to your lofty expectations? And really put it to the guy. I would relish the moment to be able to do that. And the only reason I bring it up is, have you heard of Michael Holly?
Mm-hmm. Yep, from the Boston Globe.
Yeah, and he's got a show on EEI with two other guys, and he threatened to walk off if they allowed that guy to have an interview. And I'm like, well, he wouldn't. If he was going to be on the show, then Michael Holly wasn't going to be on the show. I'm like, the guy didn't murder anybody.
No, but I don't think he's an idiot
when it comes to his son.
I don't think he brings any value because no matter what question you ask him, it's always going to come back to the big baller brand. And about his kids, and a couple of bragging things that he says about himself as a player. And that's why it's always going to keep coming back. He doesn't have an ability to answer the questions you're talking about.
That's true. I would like the opportunity to challenge him. So
I think he doesn't. He brings, in my opinion, no value to the show. Of any consequence whatsoever. I think it's always one of the areas that we try to evaluate when we're having guests on. For example, we're going to have, on the 10th, we're going to have Ed Henry of Fox News on. Why are we having Ed Henry of Fox News on? Because he just wrote a book about Jackie Robinson, and that will be the week of the 70th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color line in Major League Baseball. So great value, so we're going to have him on. Other than self-promoting himself and his family, he brings LeVar Ball no discernible significance to the show. Doesn't advance the show at all.
And I mean, that was Holly's argument was, I'm not going to help this guy sell his brand, you know? And I mean, another reason he'd be on a Boston station is the Celtics may have a number one pick. And would they want to take him? And does anybody want the, again, if you take him, you get the father.
Right.
You know?
Exactly right. And nor would I select him in the draft because of the father.
I don't think he's that good. I think he's a good college player. He's the boss. You know, he's great in college, and put him in the NFL and or the NBA, and he's just going to be an average player.
Like, they're going to
bounce
think...
him right off the wall. The minute he goes down the middle, he's going to get oops, sorry, is that a foul?
Yeah, he's not physically strong enough to play. He's not physically strong enough to be an 82-game guy in the league.
No. He should play college another year. He's not ready to go in the NBA because those guys have an attitude right now because of his father, and he's going to get beat up. So,
and the Celtics might get
a kid.
Yeah, I mean, his teammates like him. Now that's a plus.
Yeah.
His teammates do like him, and
but
he also.
I don't have to tell you. There's a huge difference between the college game and the NBA game. You know,
it's a chasm.
It's a faster, stronger game. He's always been the best. That's why I love the wrestling. You have to be. You were always great. Now you got to be greater.
Yeah.
And does this kid have the tools to be greater? Is his father dragging him down? He's always been the best. Well, now he's going to play against people who are as good as he is. Can he meet that? I don't think he can. What I saw against Kentucky.
Well, Kentucky saw it in the Pac-12 championship game against Arizona too, where he had 8 points, 4 assists, and 4 turnovers.
Yeah.
And those are the two of the biggest games he played all year, and he wasn't great in either one.
Yeah, and he got schooled by another freshman. Play against people of your equal ability, can you make the next step above? Are you willing to work hard enough to get to that point? And when you got somebody cramming it down everyone's throat how great you are, now you got to prove it. And, man, you got Marinovich, Capriati, the list goes on of these parents who just pushed the heck out of their kid. And then when the kid got old enough, said, you know what, I don't like it anymore. It's not fun.
Well, that's one of the areas, that, I mean, Sean knows this, and I've talked to the audience about this. I don't watch any high school highlights of any player Penn State's recruiting. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Have no interest in watching their highlights. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is, show me the missed shots on there and how they react. Oh, it's a highlight. There aren't any missed shots. I mean, every play on there is a really good play. So you can't evaluate what you see on a highlight tape. I want to see them when they get out there in practice in front of my own eyes, and now I'm watching them face comparable talent for the first time and see how they react to it. That's when I start to form my ideas to who can play now, who might be a year or two away, and who might not have a shot.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. Who do you think is going to win the national championship?
I'd love to see Gonzaga win it.
Yeah, they played, man. They played really well because they didn't have their shot the first two games, and they played tough defense, and they played aggressive, and they won the games that way. Then their shots started to fall, and they blew the team out. I was shocked they blew out Xavier. That was a
their
good
defense,
team they blew out.
Yeah, their defense is so good, and that's what Kevin Kugler, who's the radio voice of the Final Four. We had him on the show. When we have him on, Sean, Tuesday, Monday?
Yep, Tuesday.
Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing we talked about was Gonzaga's defense, because Gonzaga right now in the tournament, 0.833 defensive efficiency, which is a mind-boggling number in a major tournament. To be that far below 1 point per possession tells you you're playing great defense.
When's the last time you saw a team have two big men who were that good, that they can take one out, put the other one in? You know, that's and he's such a good coach. So
he is a good coach. He's done a good job up there, and you know, he's an easy guy to talk to. He's very smart, and he also has stayed there and has been loyal to the school and vice versa, because I think what you have to do in those jobs, and I think it's in any job, can you get to where you're going where you are? And he figured out a long time ago he can get to the Final Four where he is. So he stayed.
Yeah. Hey, there's this guy, right? He's married, and he's having an affair. He's cheating on his wife, right, with this Italian girl. And they have a rendezvous, and she says, I'm pregnant. He goes, oh, boy. He says, I tell you what, I'm going to send you back to Italy. I'll pay for everything, and you go have the baby in Italy. And she said, okay. And he said, I'll take care of this child until he's 18 years old. I'll send you money every month. She goes, okay. She says, how will I let you know that I had the baby? And he says, send me a postcard and just write spaghetti on it. That way my wife won't know, no one will know the difference. And I'll know you had the baby, I'll start sending money. She says, okay. 9 months goes by. He come home from work. His wife says, you got the strangest card here. He says, oh, I'll take it. He takes it. He reads the card. He turns white. He passes out on the floor. The wife picks the card up and reads it. It says, spaghetti, spaghetti, spaghetti. Two with meatballs, one with none. Two boys and a girl.
Manja, manja.
Who's winning our tournament here?
All right, well, our basketball standings. Stefano still has the two-game lead, 16-8. I am 14-10, and Kevo swimming at 500 at 12-12. That's our
there you go.
That's our February and March picks combined. Last week, the three of us, nothing to write home to mom about. Spaghetti, spaghetti, spaghetti. The three of us were all 2-4. So we'll tackle the Final Four. Gonzaga, South Carolina. That'll be game one Saturday night, 6:09 East Coast time on CBS.
First one to 60 wins, Gonzaga.
I will also take Gonzaga.
I will also take Gonzaga. I love this South Carolina story, but I love Gonzaga's story too. So Gonzaga.
And nightcap Saturday night. 10 of 9, give or take a minute, North Carolina and the Ducks from Oregon.
Really like Oregon. Think Dana Altman's a great coach. I mean, really a great coach. But I'm going to go with North Carolina. I think that Joel Berry's the difference in this game.
My picks have been rather chalky lately. I'm going to go against the Tar Heels. I will take the Ducks. So a Pacific Coast, a Pacific Coast National Championship for me for Monday night.
Wow, that's amazing, huh?
I'll tell you right now that one of the keys is today. Today is the 1 hour open practice for everybody, which I think is just getting underway now, and there's never been a basketball game in this building. It's a dome. Nobody knows what the shooting depth perception is in this building. Nobody knows. And today's the day they've all got to start finding out what is the depth perception like in that building. Could be good. Could be just fine. Or it could be like Houston where it's a nightmare. It's one of the great unknowns because there's never been a basketball game in this building.
That must be hard for the kids, huh?
I remember at the Superdome one time taking a few shots out on the court, and it's the depth perception is completely different. So much space. I mean, it's, you know, plexiglass, everything, especially from the corner. It's really, really difficult. And I thought, well, let's take a few shots, see what it's like. Now, I'm not saying I would have made any because skill level does come into play.
How far did you make it in the horse? You've got an age.
Oh. Oh, boy. So that's the... you know, but I wanted to go out and give it a shot and see what it's like. And you know, other building is completely different. For example, I mean, going to Madison Square Garden, I love shooting in Madison Square Garden. I love it. I mean, the depth perception there is great. I mean, every time I've gone in there and just thrown up a few shots, I'm like, hey, this is terrific. I remember doing it in domes, and you're like, oh yeah, yay!
Wow. You shot baskets at the Garden?
Yeah.
Wow. That's the coolest thing I ever saw when you were doing a game courtside there. And I was watching. I was like, holy crap. You used to do them in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Now you're in the Garden.
We're in the Garden next year for the Big Ten tournament.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Can I go?
Yep.
Cool. We staying at the Marquee?
I don't know. We're assigned the hotel.
No.
So I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure yet where we're assigned. It's somewhere in Manhattan. I just don't know if it's the Marquee or the Grand Hyatt or something. I don't know.
I'd like the Marquee if we could get it.
So would I. I get Marriott points. It's all about points in the end, my man.
Starts with M, ends with T.
Marriott points.
Cool.
I got about 170,000 of them. So far, I'm so good.
Oh, you can accumulate points?
Oh, yes. I'm accumulating left and right. I feel like I'm a Marriott bank.
Just like George Clooney accumulated points and up in the air.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir.
George Clooney. Oh, my God. The All-American man. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You go UConn women tonight, baby. You think they're going to win it?
They're going to crush them by 25, 30 points.
Have you seen the HBO special? It's really good. HBO's been following them around all season. And it's almost like a Hard Knocks type of thing. It's really good.
So, believe me.
They're quite a team. So.
I talked to somebody who worked on the Hard Knocks Rams. I know her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's some interesting stories. Not the brightest bulbs.
No. And you watch. They're going to do Hard Knocks Las Vegas.
Well, they put in... Two players are on the sideline, two wideouts. One of them looks up and goes, oh, we're down 5 points. Yeah. He says, gee, I thought we were down two. He says, I'd have done something different if I'd known that. Who are these people? I'm not going to get into names, okay? Mm. But when I was told that one, I went, "You have to be kidding me!"
Yeah, that was one of the worst Hard Knocks there was. The Rams, I don't know.
Bill O'Brien.
There was something phony about him. I don't know. It wasn't that good.
So. Bill O'Brien. First Hard Knocks that comes up. He had to call his mother called him from Cape Cod.
Because he was swearing.
Yes.
He swears a lot.
And I know, I don't know. I mean, really. I mean, believe me, I know his parents.
If it wasn't for swears, they wouldn't talk. So.
Billy's a good guy. Billy's a good guy.
He was good. He was good. You could see the rapport he had with his players. Yeah. It was good.
No doubt. I had good rapport with them, too. So, all right, we got it. We got to fold up the tent.
Great weekend, gentlemen.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right, Phillies here on Monday. Day off for Sean. He's going to go to the Bahamas. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.